you've raised is one that other people have raised as well. This is in terms of the groundwater allocation and the wire. I'm not sure how much we can do about that in this process, but it's certainly something I understand the council's going to have to deal with when they do the fresh, the FMU process for that catchment. The level setting process that has to happen under the national policy statement is going to have to tackle this issue head on. So, it'll be a fun time.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any submitters here who were scheduled for after morning tea who are here already? Are you happy to...
I'm not sure. Well, I didn't see when we scheduled.
Yeah, so, sorry, what was your name?
Tiny Hands.
Are you happy to go now?
Yes.
Yeah, come on up. So good morning and welcome. I'll just give you some up. All right, thanks very much. Do you want to outline your key concerns to us?
My name's Tony Anderson. I run 320 hectares, a 4,000 stock unit place out Cosnock, Monkey Island. I've done a bit of farm sustainability, and we've got 16 hectares of manuka locked up, and we've got 12 hectares of trees around gullies and plantations like that. And all my creeks are fenced off, and we're part of the OC, which is called the Orapuki Catchment Group. And what I'd like to talk about is the physiographic zones on my farm. I believe they're wrong. At this point in time, the way that it's deemed on the map over here, it's about 25% of my farm is peat wetlands. It's probably more like 10% or 332 hectares, and it's decreasing through development. If the zoning is wrong, so will be my nutrient budgets, cropping area, dairy conversion and effluent distribution, which all affects my farm values. So that's in the future, if I wish to sell to a dairy farmer or want to convert it, like, it upsets everything. So what I'm asking for is physiographic zones not to be cemented as is, but changed and challenged through development in future years. So in front of you, the first one, I believe, is a map. I know it looks like a five-year-old drew it, but that's, who said a five-year-old didn't draw that? Just because it's in glossy doesn't mean that's right. That's the map of my farm, and the dark purple area or dark blue area is what is defined as peat wetlands. Right. The next page over is what I define as the peat wetlands area, and to get my point through, if you go to the third page over, I don't know whether yours came out red, but there's a paddock there.
Yeah, it's red.
Right, and in that, on the fourth page, is I dug four holes and there's four photos. Now that whole paddock is described as a peat wetlands area. Now up top of the hill is good loam, and the side of the hill is clay, and in the bottom is actual peat, just to show that I know what peat actually looks like. And towards the bottom of the creek is actually, I can't remember what it's called now, collet blade grey or something, rather it's a different physiological change. But that whole paddock, and if you look at the photo, you can see it's grass. Now you can see the water, that was where the peat was here. And that paddock is being developed and will not always be peat. It will get better and better as time goes on. But if you cement the physiographic zones as is, it'll never change. I mean, like...
Yeah, understand. So the red paddock here...
That's the paddock you're looking at.
So that's the photo on the back page, and you've taken that photo from the top of the hill. So
yes, but that whole paddock is defined as peat wetlands.
Peat wetland as on your first page.
Yes.
Very clearly illustrated your point. Anything else? Or should we see if we have questions?
That's about it, I think. Other than I'd like to back everybody else up in the room.
That's fine.
So I think you made your point, and you're not the first to question the boundaries of or some of the graphics on your own property, so we understand that. Thank you for bringing forward the photos. Very helpful.
Yeah, thank you. So in this photo here, where the cabbage trees are, that would be peaty down.
That's wet, yes.
Yeah, right.
It's not peat,
it's wet.
I guess it's wet lands at the moment, but we've got a drain in there and it's not wet during the summertime.
So around the circumference of the peat wetland, you've got a big open drain or something that's lowered the water table, or?
There's a ditch. There's a ditch further over. You can see a flax. Can you see the flax? Yeah. That is an open creek. So there is drains being pulled into that wet area, and it is draining. Like, that's a wet day. It did actually rain.
Right. So it does pond a bit there.
It does. It is low.
It is low, yeah.
Yes.
It's going to get lower.
And, yes. But
so there'll be a bit of shrinkage on that anyway.
Well, that's why it's ponding, yeah.
Thank you.
Good morning. Just to understand your point, I think you said as it's developed, there'll be less peatland. Is that what?
Yes. Well, I mean, Invercargill was built on a swamp.
So what I was going to ask you to sort of clarify it for me is the bulk of that would have been peaked a long time ago.
A long time ago, but it has changed over generations and will continue to change.
Through drainage.
Through drainage, and yes. And what, so
for it?
I suppose.
Tony, have you had a soil scientist? The South Coast Haven got Jim Risk to have a look at their property. Did you get him or anybody else to?
No, I didn't. I do know Coast Haven. I have looked at this, and they've done a very in-depth, yes. Mm-hmm. And really, I'm here to back up what they said, really, more to the point. I mean, yeah, I like what they've done.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But you didn't get Jim or anybody else to have a...
No, I've got nobody else to back what I've got up, yeah. Okay. Other than to say that, that it's wrong, yeah.
Alright, thanks very much.
And no further questions, but you have illustrated the point very clearly.
Alright, thank you.
I'll just run down the list of submitters that were scheduled for after morning tea to see who's here. It's Dylan Ditchfield. Are you happy to go now?
Yeah.
Okay, come on up.